All right, it is so good to be with you. I am fired up and excited to be in the city that's ranked the number one city in Canada to live in. Do I get an iPhone as a present?
I got you.
It is so good to be here. I want to squelch a few rumors before I... Oh, thank you, Rob.
What? Look at that. That's awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. It is good. Man, anybody else is bringing up anything for me? Let me squelch a few rumors before I get going. I am not an American. I never have been. And I have no plan on becoming one. Amen. Whenever I come home, and that is to Canada, I always feel the air, it just breathes differently. I feel different, and it is always a different good, all right, when I say that. But, of course, my wife and I and our family presently live in Boston. We're excited to be there. I bring you greetings from the Boston Church of Christ. All 2,100 disciples send their love. We're very, very excited about what God has done and what God is continuing to do. So far this year, I want to give you guys an update of how your family is doing in Boston. So far, we've had 53 people that have been baptized and restored so far this year. And we look forward, actually, excitingly, in the next 4 weeks or so, we expect about 50 people to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And so we're very, very excited about what God is doing, and we're thrilled about how God has opened some significant doors in Europe. And there is a tremendous wave of openness, and a lot of people are giving their lives for the ministry there. A lot of people actually who are in the full-time ministry in Boston are going to be moving to Europe in the next few months to be able to spread the gospel, be it in Paris, France, or in Berlin, Germany, and different parts of Romania. And we are very, very excited about what God is doing. I can't tell you how fired up I am to be, actually, for the last 2 weekends, to be in Canada. I was in Toronto last weekend, and it was my sister's 50th birthday. And it's amazing. She's twice as old as I am. And that's just... just amazing how my parents spaced those kids out like that. I was significantly hurt last week because everybody, as soon as they met me, they asked me, "Where's Melanie?" They didn't say hello. They didn't as much give me a hug. All they said was, "Where's Melanie?" We decided to bring Melanie with me this time so that at least they'll have a chance to be able to do that. Also, what even hurt me even a little bit more was that when people would come up to me in Toronto, they'll say, "Are you Justin's father?" It used to be Justin was my son. Now I am his father. That's how I'm known. But we're very, very excited, of course, to be with Karen and with Howard. And we are very, very thrilled. We are not only partners in the gospel, they are dear friends of ours, and there is a joy that comes to my heart whenever I see them, and I really, really care for them as I do my own children, and that just speaks a profound love that I have for them. It is so great to see you guys, and it's great to be with the congregation. It's also great to be with you, and I had visited the last time I came to Ottawa was 11 years ago. That is simply not right. And we need to change that more and more. Amen. Thank you very much. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 1. I want to let you know, in the ministry that we're a part of, in the Boston Church, we're divided into different sections. We call ourselves a worship center. On any given Sunday, there are about 700 people that worship there. There are about 500 disciples or so that is in that ministry. And we chose the theme for this year, epic. And epic actually is an acronym. And we talked about if we're going to live epic lives,
We need to live epically, so to speak. And epic means everyday people imitating Christ. E-P-I-C. And subsequently, what we have done, we made an initial call to what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And what I want for us to do here today, if you're visiting with us, you will catch a glimpse of what we're all about. And prayerfully, you'll be inspired and encouraged to draw closer to Jesus. If you've been a disciple for a few years or decades, then I pray that this call, a refreshing call to see who Jesus is and what He calls us to be, will inspire and renew your heart for Jesus. Now, everyday people, that could be done in one of two ways. Every day, as in each day, or everyday people, as in all of us. One of the things that separates Christianity from every other religion is that it is a religion that actually calls you to imitate someone. Other religion talks about teachings, but Jesus actually calls us to imitate Him, to follow Him. Christianity is not about, well or not, we believe in the teachings of Christ, and we ought to. Christianity is not merely, well or not, we agree with His teachings, and we ought to. Christianity is not merely, well or not, we condone the teachings of Christ, and we ought to. Christianity is not merely about having faith in Jesus Christ, and we ought to. It's not even merely about having faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus actually calls us to imitate Him, to follow Him. And we'll take a fresh look at that this morning. And we are going to be challenged and inspired and encouraged to follow this man from Galilee. You know, Jesus had a tremendous impact on this earth. Jesus wants us to have an impact. He wants us to have influence. I know the women talked about that last night. It's not for us merely to come on this earth and to live our lives 60, 70, 80 years, and that's it. And maybe somehow have a lasting impact. No. God created us in His image for more than that. Not simply for us to sit in Parliament Hill during the summertime and enjoy this beautiful city. While we need to do that, amen. Not for us to cheer for the Senators, because God knows we can't cheer for the Leafs. I was stoned last week when I said, man, it is great to be in Toronto, because I don't get to see the Leafs at all. And I'm glad I was going to be in Toronto last week. I was actually going to get to see them live on television. And so who were they playing in the playoffs? I was booed, kicked, pissed, and everything like that. Believe me, I'm a Leaf fan. It hurts my heart. Amen. We pray for miracles still. Amen. But we're not merely here to simply enjoy the good Canadian life. And good it is. That God calls us to have an impact where we are. But the question begs, what could we possibly learn from a man who was publicly beaten, spat on, and whipped? Let me ask you a question. As you were coming here this morning, and if you saw someone right outside there that was being beaten, that was being spat upon, that was being whipped, what would have been your thought? What a bum. What did he do? Especially if he had no clothes on his back. Why would we want to follow the example of a man who, because of his ways and his words, was condemned to die before the eyes of the multitude as a hideous object of scorn? I want you to imagine this. After all, wasn't this man defeated? Didn't he fail in his mission? Haven't his followers since have always been an apparent weak-willed, unimpressive lot of hypocrites who have never quite been able to live up to the ideals professed by their master? But as we think about it, Jesus was the most influential man who has ever lived on the face of the earth. In merely 3 years, he began a movement that has influenced nearly everyone on the planet over the last 20 centuries. Almost all his closest friends died violent deaths proclaiming his divinity. The church, despite its humble beginnings, conquered the most powerful empire up to that time, the Roman Empire. Missionary zeal became the force spurring the exploration of the new world. Social reform began in Jesus' name. Hospitals, orphanages, homes for unwed mothers were motivated by his words. A vast number of great works of art and music, Handel's Messiah, Da Vinci's The Last Supper, have found their inspiration in him. A great number of books, more than the world can hold, have been written about him. That is just a speck of some of the reasons why we ought to imitate this Christ. But not only for his impact, but we see in Mark chapter 1, as we have a refresher course, if you would. So I was talking to Howard, and we're talking about what you guys are doing here in Ottawa. He said we're taking a fresh look at the gospel. And I think that's one of the challenges for us. I've been a disciple now. November 2nd will be 26 years. I would have completed 26 years and heading into my 27th year. We baptized people when they were 4 in Toronto back then. Just kidding. I'll be unbelievable 45 this summer. That's quite frightening to even think about. Amen. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. We see what Jesus did when he called his disciples. He said, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. For the next few minutes, what we're going to do is this. We're going to examine the ways that Jesus calls us. And at the end, we're going to give you all a challenge and examine your life in light of what Jesus has asked us to do. What's interesting that Jesus says, come not see my beautiful teachings and how poetic and beautiful they are. Come and I'll show you the Sermon on the Mount and how incredibly awesome it is. And awesome it is. But he issues a challenge that shook these men to their core. And he says, I want you to come and to follow me. I want you to come and to imitate me. I've got to be honest with you. There are times in my life, even in the recent past, I've wondered and I've questioned, do I really need to imitate Jesus? Oh, there was no debate whether or not I believed in his teachings. There was no question whether or not this book was inerrant and that I ought to pay careful attention to it. There was no question whether or not I should come to church and sing songs about him. And I would be there, perhaps one of the first ones, perhaps sitting in the first chair, shaking my fist and saying, yeah, that sounds great. Great, that's what Jesus taught. had to re-examine my life and ask myself this question. Am I really imitating Jesus? If someone were to look at me and they would say, this is what it means to be a disciple. If I were to be brought into the courts of Ottawa and I were to be asked, someone were to accuse me of being a Jesus follower, not a Jesus believer, not a Jesus embracer, a Jesus follower, would I be convicted in the courts of law? Oh, I could sing with the best of them. I'm not talking. Karen, that wasn't that funny. She starts laughing at me. That's not even with me. That hurts my feelings. Everyone who knows me or within 50 feet of me realizes I can't carry a tune, not even a bucket. But I could sing energetically. I could say amen with the best of them. But whether or not I was imitating Jesus was a question that was altogether a different one. And here it is. Not whether or not I believe that I should imitate Jesus, but whether or not I was actually imitating Him. We've come to the realization that what America and Canada needs anymore is not more churches. You know how many congregations there are in the North American, Canada, United States? 370,000. Let me say that again. 370,000. We don't need more churches. As a matter of fact, we have enough church buildings that in the summertime, in the next few months, will be closed. Because people are going to Calabogie. In cottage country, and the ministers realize, you know what? We are not going to need these churches anymore this summer. So we shut the doors. And we bring a few together. And then we're going to go and meet in these three congregations. We rotate because the doors are going to be closed this summer. We don't need more television programs on Jesus or on Christianity. I believe what we really need is for Jesus to walk around in our cities in us. We know, I mean, I drive around Ottawa. Man, there's some beautiful church buildings here. You think that's what we need? We have enough of those. But Jesus issues His call and He says, come, follow me. Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9. In verse 23. It says, then He said to them all. To whom was Jesus speaking? He addresses it in verse, the first two words. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Once again, Jesus issues the call. And I have to wrestle with the scripture again, fresh and anew, and I ask myself, someone following Jesus, coming after Him, saying that we should be like Him. Maybe it's only for people who want to be shakers and movers. But maybe what I want to do, I just want to come into a quiet church and sit in the back and have no one talk to me. And certainly no one to rattle my cage. You know, I often heard when I first came to church, and I love it, and I still think it's a great definition. It was often asked, what is good preaching? And it was defined as good preaching comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable. I'll tell you what. I know when I came to church and the guy was preaching and he'd be preaching and he's foaming at the mouth and my hair is flying and I'm sweating because he's just challenging me. And I said, man, yes, I want more of that. Where the chair would be too much because all we need is the edge of it. Because I'd be on the edge of my seat. Because I'd gone to church all my life and I was a pew sitter. And I said to myself, I know this is not what Jesus intended when He called us to be a disciple. I know this is not what He said. And yet He calls us again, not merely to come and obey His teachings, but to come and follow Him. There is a subtle but real difference. Jesus in Luke chapter 9, again in verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He said to another, follow Me. But the man replied, first let me go and bury my father. And we see that issue, that call. And we will go through this for a few minutes and we realize, you know what? This call to follow Jesus, to actually follow Him, is not a one-time call to a select group of people. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Let me taste the water that Rob gave me. Wow, that's good. That's good. John chapter 12 and verse 23. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Now, we know Jesus only spoke the truth, right? But whenever Jesus prefaces a statement with, I tell you the truth, it's time to put on your seatbelts, buckle up, hold on to your seat. It's time to listen to what the Lord is saying. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Here it is. Whoever serves Me should really, if they feel up to it, if they really want to be effective, you know, Canadians and Americans, we are alike in this sense. I know we don't like to be compared to those guys. We don't like to be told what to do. Suggest to me. Imply to me. I'll even give you a strong implication. But don't you dare tell me what to do. And I know it's why the Lord said what He did and how He said it. He loved to simply get us going. And He said, you must follow Me. And where I am, My servant will also be. Let me ask you a question. Where have you been? Is that where Jesus was? Today, in the evangelical world, there's no appreciable difference between the divorce rate in the evangelical world and those who are not Christians, so to speak. They did a statistic that talked about people who call themselves born-again Christians, who watch pornography, those who were single, and were involved in some illicit form of pornography in the last 3 months, relative to those who didn't call themselves Christians. And the difference was 41% to 35%. At least the born-again Christians was a little better. But there's no appreciable difference. And today, it's interesting how we can be incognito Christians. And in the name of relatability, we have watered down what Jesus calls us to be. And our homes look like just like our neighbors. And our clothes look just like them, and our cars look just like them, and our lives are effectively just like theirs, and yet Jesus calls us to be like Him and not like the Joneses. Right. Or the Cartiers. Or the Cousteaus. Jesus says, where I am, that's where my servant will be. And the question begs. Last night, where was I? 3 days ago, where was I? Jesus calls us to be where He is. Look at what He says in John chapter 14. In verse 12. It says, when He had... John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Once again, one of those things. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what? What I have been doing. Do you see that again? Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if you have faith in Me, or you claim to have faith in Me, that you're actually going to do what I am doing. Jesus calls us to unequivocally, unashamedly, unapologetically, to imitate Him. If we are people who proclaim to have faith in Him, are we doing what Jesus is doing? That's what He says. It couldn't be clearer. Yeah. Is there any clearer scripture than in 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2. In verse 3. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. When my world was rocked, you see, I'd gone to church for 19 years of my life. And I came to face to face with someone who sat down with me and opened up the scriptures with me and called me and said, if you want to be a Christian, you actually have to imitate Jesus. I said, what? There's only one Jesus. No, you have to think like He thought. You have to do the things that He did. You have to have... What?
you've lost your mind. There's nobody that lives like that. Nobody even strives to live like that. And he says, come, I'll show you. I said, what? I said, that would be lovely. But I don't think it's even possible. I don't think it's what Jesus even called us. He says, let me show you from the scriptures. If you really want to walk as Jesus did, look what his servants does. They are where he's at. He says to come and follow me. He says, if you have faith in him, you will do the things that I did. Jesus actually calls us that if we are calling ourselves Christians, we have to do what he did. We have to imitate him. Let me ask you a question. Jesus said, in line with what the women talked about last night, that we could have an impact in this world. We could leave a wake. You know, you can tell an impact of a ship depending on the wake that it leaves behind. What kind of impact are you having? Do you really think that Jesus would just simply go into IBM? Or a government office and literally people didn't know where he stand? Really? Do you really think that we are imitating Jesus when we don't even talk to one person about who God is a day? Could you imagine Jesus simply just sitting at home? Really? Stop the pretense. Really? Do we really, really think so? How do you think Jesus would worship God? He just sit there, sit in his hands and say, I'm a typical Canadian, whatever that means. Boy, it sure turns different when you go to the Senators game, though. It sure looks a little different, a lot different when you go to the Maple Leafs. But that's a different story. They don't have to. That's where you go, so they don't really cheat. Jesus calls us to imitate him. And someone says to you, I'm confused. There's so many teachings and religion that's going on out there. How do I know the real Jesus? Can you honestly say, come, follow me? One of the things that we've done to Boston in our ministry is that we have broken down our ministries by life stages, we call them. Singles ministry, campus ministry, youth and family ministry, young marriage, older marriage. And the idea there is what we've taught, and what we're thinking is this. That you are showing people in your life stage that if you've got three kids, grabbing at your leg, pulling at your hair, you know, pulling your ears, you're looking at them and you're saying, this is how someone in this lifestyle will be in Christ. You're setting the example. So people are without excuse. So if you are single, and someone say, man, how can I live a Christian life if I'm a single? Look how I'm doing.
I'm not perfect, but look how I'm doing. Let's start there. If you're a teenager, you say, how can a teenager, how can I be a Christian in this day and age? I'm not talking truly being a Christian. And the call is, look at my life. I have the goal in my heart to imitate Christ. Everyday people imitating Christ. And everyday people imitating Christ. Then we get up tomorrow morning as if it were on purpose. And we say, I am getting up tomorrow morning with a purpose in my life. And that is to imitate Christ. And that what we have been doing is examining attributes of Christ and saying, are we like Him in this area? And we have gone through a number of them. But I want you to re-examine your life. We'll close with three things here. Hopefully, I've jarred your heart and your mind into really thinking seriously. If you're visiting with us this morning, we believe Christianity is not about obeying the teachings of Christ, while that's certainly a part of it. It is about imitating the man called Jesus Christ. Amen. Because look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 21. Says this. To this you were called. What? What's this? Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. You have lost your ever-loving mind, Tony. Yes. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to Him who judges justly. We're called to follow Jesus in His steps, even at the most challenging time. When He was treated how? Unjustly. Are you crazy? No one's going to take advantage of me. I'm going to get what is due me. Jesus said, through His Spirit in the words of Peter, we ought to imitate His steps. So let me ask you questions. Are you imitating Jesus' actions? That's what He says, we ought to imitate Him. Secondly, His attitude. In Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Your attitude should be in the category, in the semblance of Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What? The Bible calls us not only to imitate His actions, but to imitate His attitude. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know what's amazing? The Bible tells us, in essence here, not because you can do something, it doesn't mean that you should. Jesus, who being in very nature God, what? Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, He could have played the God card all the time.
Yeah.
And He chose not to do that. Can you imagine how our world would be? That if we just, the reason why we did things is not because we could. Well, why did you watch pornography last night? Because I could. flirting with somebody who is not your spouse? Because I could. Why do you spend your money so frivolously? Because I could. Why do I not give to the disciples? Why not? Because I can. Jesus did not live his life that way. His attitude was not what I'm not simply going to do things simply because I can. I'm not making a political statement here, but when Bill Clinton was asked, why did he do what he did with Michael Lewinsky? You know what he said? In his most candid moment. Because I could have. And he wasn't in error. He just took that. He said, because I could have. Why sometimes do we exasperate our children? Because we're bigger than they are? Because we can yell louder than they can? Children, why do you talk to your parents the way you do? Because you can? Because you have a mouth? And his attributes. His dependence on God. His love. His servitude. And you can examine that whole thing. Today was just the opening of the camp to get us to think again. Do I really need to imitate Jesus? The answer is an unequivocal yes! What our neighbors need is not somebody who believes in Jesus, it's somebody who walks like him. What our neighbor needs is not a fish sign in our car that someone indicates, by the way, we're not in the first century, we're going to live in incognito.
That's right.
But they say that this is what it means to be free. This is how I handle financial adversity.
Yeah.
This is how I handle challenges in my family's life.
Yeah.
This is what it means to put God first.
If we're going to live ethically, we've got to be everyday people imitating Christ. Hopefully these words would have encouraged and got your mind thinking. I want to encourage you, if you're visiting with us today, find out more about this. Say, is this guy king? Is he serious? I can do this. I can say all whatever I want without leaving a few words. I don't care if you actually get the mess. If you're a disciple here this morning, you're saying, man, I need to examine him. Am I really have it in my heart tomorrow morning? But I'm going to get up as if it were on purpose. Not by accident. That Jesus is who I'm going to imitate. I ask you this. If Jesus prayed to the Father all the time, and he was who he was, what do you think we who are imperfect and evil should do?
Right.
How much do you think we ought to depend on the Father? Really, honestly.
Let me say this. If you are living a life that you only need to depend on the Father on, then you are living a life that does not please God. If you can go day after day after day and say, God, I and not ask God how much you mean him, you got to examine if that's the life that God has actually called you to live.
Wow.
Let's look ethically
as we become everyday people imitating Christ. Thank you so much.